Do you need them? If you need them, raise your hand. You're going to open them up, and there's a journey that you can take. Let's welcome our Facebook Live audience also. Come on while you're doing that. Ushers are quickly attending to the people, and thank God. Welcome our live stream audience. There's more people watching that than there are in church, and I find that incredible today. And so let's go ahead and let's continue in 2018 to join the worldwide fasting and prayer movement that many churches are doing. And the disciples of Jesus were given three assignments. You can show me the first slide. By Jesus. And it was really, well, do they have to go to church every day? No, that's a byproduct of a relationship. They gave them three assignments Jesus did to his disciples to do. And they were to pray, to fast, and to give. And he says, this is how you'll know if you're a disciple of Jesus, a follower. If you're praying, if you're fasting, and you're giving. And it hasn't stopped. It should continue, right, everybody? The 21st century disciples of Jesus still need to dedicate the first of the year. It's a fresh year for. See, real life happens when you change the inside. Somebody say, inside job. We want to change the external by going to the workout and all that's important, by eating right. All that's important, looking at the food in front of you and saying, I'm not going to eat that, or I'm going to do away with that. And all that's real important. But when you work on the inside, real change happens because God changes people from the inside out. Didn't he do it with you? Remember when you were born again years ago? Remember when God's light came on and you begin to do that and God, real change happens. Christians in this room, you thank God for the Word of God. It will never fail. It will give us hope. It will give us encouragement. We just got to open it up, right? Thank God for the Holy Spirit. It convicts us. It encourages us. It teaches us. It comes alongside. God left his Spirit for us. But you know what I lack? Be real honest with you. The desire. La ganas. No quiero. Amen. But when I have the desire, and how do I get that desire? By feeding the right thing. And that's why 21 days of prayer and fasting is so important to me, because it pushes away the earthly stuff. I'm going to do away with that and minimize that for 21 days. And I'm going to emphasize reading God's word instead of maybe eating the water burger. You getting hungry? Instead of maybe filling myself up with that, I'm going to fill myself up with God. And so I'm calling the church for 21 days to finish strong with me here at the end of the week, that we would continue the course and do what we're called to do. I got to get the desire. If anybody had the desire, it was the man of Old Testament, Daniel. What a man of God, of determination that he was. We have his life chronicled all the way from a teenager when he was held in captivity, all the way until he becomes an older man in his 80s, and he's still living for God. Wouldn't you like a life like that? A testimony about you, a chronicle about you that would say, hey, that guy lived for Jesus. And none of us maybe have done that in this room, but we have a fresh start right now. Do you understand that today? To begin to live for God, begin to become an influence for God, that one day they'll speak of you as they spoke of Daniel. Daniel wasn't perfect, just like none of us are perfect. But Daniel was a man of God, and what separated him was he was determined to get his prayers answered that were the will of God. It wasn't about betting on the horse at the dog track or the dog at the dog track. And that's the will of God, that I win the lotto. And thank God, if you win it, make sure you tithe. Give me a good amen. What it meant was that he prayed the will of God for his nation, for his people. And God saw it that he answered him through his prayer. Daniel was a humble man because he displayed it. And he wasn't ashamed of it today. And so our primary scripture right now, not in your notes, but on the big screen, Daniel 9:3. Come on, read it together on three, everybody. Are you ready? Yeah? Amen. Daniel 9:3. 1, 2, 3, go. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded him with prayer and fasting, petition, sackcloth and ashes today. I heard a funny story about a prayer. There's this church that was praying in their community, and they went outside the four walls, kind of like Living Faith Church, and they saw a bar going up. True story. It really happened in South Texas, now South Texas, one of the East Texas towns. And the bar started expanding. It was doing so well. So they got out there and started praying and fasting and asking God to shut down the bar, take away the bar from their community. They didn't want the bar in their community. And on the day that after they expanded it, on that grand opening, the day before, a lightning bolt hits it, true story, and it catches on fire and it burns down the bar. And so the church folk, you know, they're all saying, praise the Lord. They're kind of nodding, see how God answered. Uh-huh. But the bar owner, he's upset because he found out, because it got out, the Christians were praying that bar would get, you know. And so the bar owner took them to court. Yeah. See what happens when you pray? Took them to court and said, you know, hey, you know, do you believe this happened? And the church folk and the pastor, they were all kind of quiet and stoic. You know, we just believe we pray. And, you know. And the bar owner said, no, they prayed and that happened. Is that true? And the church folk wouldn't answer because they knew they were liable. And they just, you know, they wouldn't answer. And the judge finally said this. He says, I have a quandary here, you know. I have a bar owner that believes in the power of prayer. And I have church people that don't believe in prayer. I want you to finish strong with me and believe in the power of prayer and fasting. And I want us to be ashamed, even in court, amen, today, that God answered our prayer. Right, everybody? Amen. Daniel spoke about that he turned his face towards God, that he in other words, he set his face. He wasn't going to look around. He wasn't going to be external and say, I'm looking at that, looking at that, looking at that worry or that concern. I'm setting my face on the source, which was God. And he would not turn his face from God. And then he made his request known to God. Why not make big prayers to God? Some of y'all don't like when I say this, but when you pray for traveling mercies, that's okay. If you put your seatbelt on and obey the speed limit, you're probably going to get there and drive defensively. You're going to be all right. But why don't you make a bold prayer like this? Lord, let my son be a prophet to the nations. Only God can answer that, right? Lord, pay off the debt at Living Faith Church, that $500,000. Because only God can really answer that, right? I mean, God can do it through us, but it's going to take God doing that, right, everybody? Amen. God's going to probably make it okay if you get the next meal and you bless that food and you. He's going to do that if you have a job. Do y'all understand that today? He's going to pay the bill. But God wants these audacious, bold prayers rising out of your mouth because only God can get the glory. One of my good friends here, he didn't want me to do this. I'm not going to make him stand up, but Bradley Stroud is here. And he's been a longtime friend, a 25-year friend, amen. And we knew each other when we were young, and we're still young. And Bradley's a great man of God in my life, and he taught me great things as a young minister. And he's my big brother. Is that okay with everybody? And he sits with me today, and I didn't think he was going to come, but I said, man, are you sure you won't come to our church? And he walked in. I said, because you have all these big guys that you've been around. And I said, you sure? And he was kind of laughing, but I'm blessed that you're here, my friend. And bless him. Amen. Welcome. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Bradley. You bless Irma and I and our leaders by being here and our people today. He's been a blessing. Not everybody attack him after church. Is that okay with everybody? Just say hello to him. We're not weird, but we love people and thank God that I love my brother, and he's a blessing to me. Daniel had this humble heart about his practice in prayer. He knelt. He opened a window. Not that everybody would see him, but it was his practice that he did it. And the Bible speaks of what he did by fasting, by sackcloth and ashes. And there are three principal things, real quick, extra notes. Fasting means, really, in the Old Testament, what it meant was fasting meant you abstained from food. That you didn't eat food. Nowadays, we have social media that takes our time. We have the Spurs. We have the Dallas Cowboys when they're winning. We have all these things that you can fast from. But in the Old Testament, their pleasure was food. They love, Lord, you've done it. I don't watch movies anymore. I don't do all that. All I got is food. Don't take away Whataburger, Lord. But for 21 days, God is more important than Whataburger. Give me a good amen. Don't take coffee away from me, Lord. I couldn't know. Well, for 21 days, God is more important than Starbucks. Amen? You just need to choose. Amen? The next thought is sackcloth. And that's worn in humiliation and mourning. And the people of Israel were very familiar with sackcloth because every time an invading army would come in, they would take away their young people like they took away Daniel. They would leave the city in ruin, burn it down. And so in sackcloth, they would put it on as leaders. And they would wail and pound their chests. Oh, God, why have you forsaken? And all along, God wanted to love them, but they wouldn't do what God wanted them to do. They had all these little idols before God, right? And they put them before God. And sooner or later, God said, look, I'm going to lift my hand from you because I can't have the blessing on you anymore because I'm a jealous God. I want to be the only one in your life today. And it's a symbol of things that we confuse by putting things in front of God. The next thought is ashes. Somebody say ashes. And it's worthlessness. It's the dirt of the ground that you would sit and you would just have the burned ruins of the city, and you're holding those ashes up, and you're saying, and that's like the shame that we have. And my shame was great, but God's love is greater, isn't it?
Amen.
And that's why he made a way. He didn't want heaven without me. He wanted heaven, so he made a way. His great love made a way with all my shame and all my sin and all my unworthiness. God made a way for me. You missed a good time to praise God right there. Yeah, you ought to thank God that he made a way. For what a wonderful name, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name the name of Jesus is. Amen. Call his name out loud, Jesus, right? Yeah, amen, amen. Daniel was determined to get the job done, and he got it done through prayer, right, everybody? All of us have an area like we just talked about, in kryptonite. Superman got powerless when he got around kryptonite. All of us got that area that we say, man, I don't want to do that, but I do that. It gets the best of me. All of us have a struggle, right, everybody? Amen. It trips us up. It makes us not the people that we want to be, the Christian that we don't want to be. And it makes us like defeated and feel like a failure in life. You know, we all probably know somebody that habit or that thing gets the best of them. Drug addiction, pornography, medication of some sort, alcoholism, all those little things, and they get the best of us. You know, we're in church, and not that we're talking about people. How many of you know somebody that's addicted or it gets the best of them? Would you just be reliant? You can show me your hand. I'm not going to call you out. Yeah, we all know. Now, how about this? How many of you in this church are addicts? Yeah, you know what? Hi, my name is Mario, and I'm an addict. All right, I knew somebody was going to say it finally, amen. Because if we're real transparent, we all struggle with something in this room. And I think it's going to be until we get to the sweet by and by, and we're going to get to heaven, but we're all going to have that kryptonite that we're going to have to fight through. And that's why God gave us the gift. He doesn't command us to fast, but if you want to go to the next level and get set free from depression, from worry, from concern, or from that habit that's killing you, sometimes it's an attitude that you just need to break free from. It's going to be done through prayer and fasting. Amen. It's not popular to preach this, and I'm glad the crowd is here that's here, and you think, man, I wish I would have come back next week, but it's that type of one, man, I wish I could change, but I can't. And God is saying, yes, you can today. Amen. My dream for you in 2018 is that you get more of God, that this becomes the best year spiritually, that God gives you more revelation from God's word. Yes, it's God's word that's always open, but you get more insight from it this year than you've ever gotten. You build your spiritual muscles more than you've ever built them this year. Amen. You get more revelations. You demonstrate the kingdom of God on this earth more than ever. Wherever you go, the kingdom of God goes. Right, everybody? There are two types of people that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians. And he says, I have to write this letter of correction. It was all. This church was really messed up. Amen. You think, man, we're doing pretty good at Living Faith Church, but Paul speaks about this church that was really whack, man, because he described the thought is this, get this before we read the scripture. There are three parts to you, body, soul, and spirit. Somebody look at their hand. Good-looking hand, right? Everybody's saying your good-looking hand. You know, that's your body. You got this soul realm that's emotion. How many ever felt the emotion of your better half? Nobody, okay, you don't live, you're not married then, amen? She's not emotional, amen? Your mental faculties are also there with your soul realm. Your spirit is the third object that's even deeper. And for most of us, our spirit gets undeveloped and it becomes very weak and anemic because we emphasize more the body and soul. You can always tell a person that gets fleshed out on things because they're emphasizing more, they're feeding. What wins? Whatever you feed the most, right? And so if you're feeding your spirit for 21 days, maybe it's going to make the rest of the year better, right, everybody? Amen. And you take a moment to do that. So Paul spoke about two people. Here you go. The first one is this. Somebody say the spiritual person. So in 1 Corinthians 2:14 on the big screen or in your handout, it says this. Hear the word of the Lord. It says this. People that do not have God's spirit, in other words, their body and their soul driven, they're giving that more. They do not accept the things that come from the Spirit. He's saying, how weird is that? Why are they doing that? They're unspiritual about it. But look, it's going to get some hope there. These things are foolish to them. Remember when you would laugh at Christians? Why do those guys carry their Bible? Why do they tell everybody that Jesus loves you? Were you ever like that? Okay, everybody was like, no one was like me. Amen. No one. Okay. They cannot understand them because they can only understand it with the Spirit's. Wow, how the Spirit's, with the Spirit's help, right, everybody? Amen. Remember when the light went on? Aurora Sullivan told me in the first service, I remember when the light came on in my life, Pastor Mario. It was like this bright light, and I finally got it, how God loved me, how God had a plan for my life. And the light went on, and remember when the light went on in your life? But without God's Spirit coming into your life, the resolutions that you're going to have in 2018 at the beginning here, you're going to fail at them over and over. I'm not a prophet of doom or anything like that. You need God's Spirit in your life to resolve what you're going to do in life, to do it by Spirit's help. You can have the best year of your life in 2018. You know why? Because you emphasize the spiritual life first, and you put God first. And when you put God first, everything else just lines up. Amen, everybody?
Amen.
And so, let me continue. We who have the Spirit, that's you guys at the 10:30 service, man, you came all bad, looking good with your Bibles and you're walking around, looking at everything. Man, you have God's Spirit. You can make judgment. In other words, you can see it finally. I finally see it. I get it about all these things. But anyone, again, it goes back, without the Spirit is not able to make proper judgment about this. Are y'all with me this one morning? Yeah. But we have the mind of Christ. And as a Spirit-filled believer, you should have a resolution in your life, not about weight loss, not about working out every week at the gym, but about really, I need to have the best year spiritually that I've ever had in my life today, in resolve to build your spiritual muscles. There's no better way to do that than the Growing in Faith class. It happens at 9 a.m. every Sunday morning in our student center. You can go in there. Today, Laura had it all ready, man. You could have walked in there. Beautiful table set up. Some of us need to go back and just get a reminder and a refresher course. And you're taught by one of our best teachers, which is Laura Collier, right, everybody? 9 a.m. it begins. You can take 6 classes. They revolve, and you can take them. You can come in next week. I think you're in week 3, right? Week 1, amen. Sorry, I'm catching up with you here. Amen. Week 1, and go ahead and be part of that, and you'll catch up. And that's an amazing class. Give God 6 weeks of your life and see what God will do. He'll change your life. Give him just 6 weeks. That's not a lot to ask, right, everybody? Go to 9 a.m. and then come to 10:30. Is that cool with everybody? God gives you this blank page in 2018, a do-over. You get to do it over, so get to do it over. All right, everybody? Amen? And so the worldly person is the second thought that the Apostle Paul speaks of, and that's a carnal person. You can circle that word worldly and just put above it carnal. And have you ever had a can of chili that says chili con carne? I love that stuff on my hot dogs. How about you?
Amen.
And the 21-day fast is coming to an end. And give me a good amen. Going to have a hot dog again. And it really meant, you know, a Christian con carne. You're a Christian with flesh. You're a fleshy Christian. Look at this scripture with me in 1 Corinthians 13:3-3 on the big screen or on your handout. Brothers and sisters! When I was a youth pastor, man, there was this rap. And it was a... went off, brothers and sisters, and then this guy started, anyway, I don't do it as good as he did, amen, but I might get somebody up here to do it, amen. Brothers, so he's talking to worldly people, but they're brothers and sisters. So he's talking to brothers and sisters that are in the church of Corinth that are really fleshy. You understand that today? Wow. I could not address you as the people who live by the Spirit. You know why? Because you're too weak. You're anemic. Because you're people who are still, what? Mere infants. You're still saved, but you are weak. And it's not willpower. It's the Spirit that won't get the, I don't have the willpower to know. It's the Spirit power that's when, I gave you milk, not solid food, because why? You weren't ready for it. And indeed, you're still not ready for it because you're still too worldly. And then he gives this illustration in the next sentence about what worldliness looks like, even in the church, what worldliness looks like, not because you're a teenager in middle school and you act that way. You can be an 80-year-old man and still act this way. And he says, here's the illustration, you're still worldly because there's jealousy and what?
Worldly.
Among you, and you're not worldly. So Paul had heard of all of the stuff going on in their church, in their community, and that's just one example. He says, because you're still worldly. How many are saying, oh me? Or are you saying, oh, God, help me? Amen. Yeah. There's a war within you. And whatever you feed the most, again, will win. You're feeding your body the most? Well, it's going to win. You're feeding your soul the most? That's going to win. If you feed your spirit, it will come alive today. I want to honor God because he's been so faithful to me. He's been so faithful to this church that for 21 days, we seek him. We can come back after the 21 days, but we do away with something and we're saying, God, I want something better in my life for 21 days. And what I thought was better is not that, it's you. Amen. And I want you for 21 days. I want to seek your face today. I want to do what you're telling me to do. So we dedicate ourselves afresh right now, this week. Again, you say, well, I messed up. You know, I ate the chocolate. I did this and I fell. And that's okay. You can start again. I'm so thankful for redemption in the Bible. Personally speaking, if I would not have it, I would not be in ministry. If I wouldn't have had God's redemption in my life. How about you? I wouldn't be married if I didn't have a forgiving wife. By the grace of God, I'm married. Boy, come on, preacher, you? Yeah. Thank God. Amen. I'm married to her. Give me a good amen. I went up the food chain when I got married to her. Amen. In Matthew 17, there's this problem about the flesh and about the spirit and about the soul. And Jesus saw that we would see it, so he translated it all the way to us, living faith, that we would have it in the Bible, Matthew 17. And there's this demon-possessed child that's a son. And to somebody, he's a son. And for years, this man has struggled with a child. And it says that he burns himself and he throws himself into this fire and he tries to drown himself and he can't contain. And he tries to take him to the disciples. And the disciples, they can't cast that devil out either. And Jesus said, there's a problem here, boys. You've been in Bible college for 3 years and you still don't know what you need to do to cast this out. And so I have hope today because of God's word. How about you? All of us are Christians in this room, I believe, and followers of Jesus. In Matthew 17, 14, and when he came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and he knelt before him. He knew there was something about Jesus. And then he calls him, Lord, have mercy on my son. Another harmony of this is Mark. When Mark reads it, his translation said, for years, this boy could not speak. For years, this boy had seizures his whole life. And he said to him, he's had seizures. And he's suffering greatly. And he often falls into the fire and into the water. And so you can see this son, just like we would have a son. And he's falling into the fire. And he's like, so he's probably scarred. Because fire scars don't leave your body. And he's saying, no, mijito, don't drown yourself. Come out. And it's not funny because if you see your son drowning, you're going to go save him, aren't you? How many times has this man been stressed out or been, you know, just trying to save his son? It says this, I brought him to your disciples, which are God's anointed followers. They're following Jesus just like we are, right? Amen. Look what he says about him. But they could not heal him. And so the spiritual problem right there is an external problem that they're looking at. They're seeing this guy, this son that's demon-possessed. And they're saying, you know, what are we going to do? You know, we've never seen anything like this. And Jesus is saying, here's what he calls them, the guys, not the crowd, not dad, not the son. He turns to the disciples, the 12 guys. He says, oh, unbelieving, perverse generation. Jesus said, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here. How many times have I brought my children to Jesus? I really have. I've been a dad just like you have. Mom. Just like mom here in the front row. We brought our children countless times to Jesus. Sometimes we thought they were demon possessed. They weren't. We thought, you know, and by the grace of God, when you bring them to Jesus, God still does the work that he needs to do, right, everybody? God has mercy on our sons and daughters. You as a grandparent, it's not too late to bring your grandchild to Jesus. Amen. Mom and dad, you still bring your son. And it says Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment on. There are two words that are real key, and they're real eye-opening. And they're about the problem, and we're about to give you the solution. I'm not going to just leave you out there and just say, man, I got beat up at church. How'd you feel? I got beat up. I'm going to give you something that you can walk away with and get blessed today. And so somebody shout, the first thought is unbelieving. And that simply means you're not connected to God. You're a Christian, but you're not connected to God. You're connected with other things. You're weak in your belief. You're not believing. I believe that God can do that little thing, but he can't do that major thing. And you qualified God as this lower end, and you've lost hope about God doing that finally in your life, and it's not fresh to you anymore, and it should be during the 21 days that God can do the impossible. Our first elder, I miss him greatly, is John Sprinkle. He's in heaven now. And we were praying in the smaller building as that was our church, and we were praying for this one man to get delivered and get healed in this area. And we prayed and prayed and prayed, and we set a night to pray. And it was like a Wednesday night. We were crying out to God, and we were including him because it was one of our petitions that we were going up. And he couldn't come because he was that sick to get delivered. And we were praying and praying, and all of a sudden, him and his wife walk in, you know, during that prayer time. And they're humbled, and they're weeping, and they're thanking God. And you can see that the guy has been through something. And he finally comes up in the prayer circle. He says, I got delivered right when y'all were praying, right at 7 o'clock when y'all began to pray. I got delivered and I got healed and I wanted to come. I told my wife, we got to get in the car and go to Living Faith Church because what just happened to me has saved me and helped me. And so John Sprinkle and all this, after it was all over and we were all like clapping, yeah, Jesus, you know. And John Sprinkle says, he's a believer now, isn't he? He's a believer. He believes now, doesn't he? And that's what can happen in 21 days. You can detach yourself from unbelief where you say, God can meet my need. God can heal me. God can provide if we do what God's asking us to do. Because all the blessings of God are conditional with something that you can do today. Right, everybody?
Amen.
And so look at the next thought about perverse. It's a perverse. He said, you're an unbelieving and perverse generation. That's what he called the church folk. Where we get our word pervert. You can show it to me later. There it is, perverse. And you get that word pervert. Oh, come on, pastor, don't speak about that in church. Well, that's what he calls his disciples. When you combine that with unbelief, there's no victory in life. You're going to live a second-class Christian life, and God wants you to have the ability to walk out of being unbelieving and perverted in your life or perverse in your life today. Amen. I know in our marriage, Irma and I, we've been married about 25-something years now. And it's been so good. It's like the first year. Give me a good amen. But I know there's been in our history of our marriage where if we don't unplug from that and connect to this, which is our relationship, our marriage isn't going to survive. So I give up that so I can get this and be part of that and be part of a relationship with her. She's done it. I've had to do it. You've all had that experience if you've been married in this room. You stop doing that so you stay married. Do y'all get that?
Amen.
Dying up here for one amen. Amen. Just in your relationship with God, it's not you give up that so you can have relationship with God in the fullness of it.
Amen. Yes.
He put a ring on it.
Amen.
So we can have it, right, everybody? And we draw closer to each other. Amen. Unbelieving, not connected to God. Perverse, too connected to the world. And so I'm glad for the answer. And so Jesus gives us a problem. Here's a solution. Matthew 17, 19. And then the disciples came to him. Somebody say in private.
In private.
I love that because they didn't want to get told off in public. Right, everybody? Hey, tell me in private. Don't rebuke me in public. And they asked him, why? Why? Why is it? We have the same resolution every year. We have the same habit. We have the same marriage. We have the same generational curse upon our family. Why couldn't we drive it out? They tried. Every year they tried. And he replied, because you have so little. You know what the difference between little faith and big faith is? Little faith has plan B. Hey, I can go to another doctor. Hey, I can borrow money from them. They bailed me out before. Great faith is I have no plan B. God, if you don't show up, man, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church. Great faith is this. I don't have a bailout plan. God needs to arrive and help me. That's great faith. When you get the demand on your life, that's when you're going to pray and fast. That's when you're going to finally look up today. And Jesus continues on. He says this, I tell you the truth. If you have faith, he gives us an illustration. As little, as small as what? This little old seed, one of the smallest seeds on the planet. It will break the ground open if you plant it, if you water it, and produce will come from it today. And it says that it will even move a mountain. You can say to that mountain, you switch the conversation. The symbolism of something being too big, too impossible, too massive, that will never happen. How can that happen? That situation. And you can say to that mountain, move. Because something on the inside of you is bigger. My God is bigger. Move, mountain. Do you get that? Because I get kind of happy when I hear about something that I can tell the mountain to move. Because something on the inside of me is a lot bigger than on the outside of me. It's external, but the inside job has fed me. And it says this. It says, so move from here to there. And look at this. Somebody shout, nothing will be impossible for you. Now, say it like you're a bulldog waiting for a pit and you're biting down. Nothing will be impossible for you. I believe you're going to get some victory right there. Nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. I don't have to stay addicted. I don't have to have that habit that's killing my family. I don't have to have that generational curse on my family. Nothing will be impossible for you because it qualifies this. But this kind, read the last sentence, but because of why it's not impossible, but this kind does not go out except by you got to have the 1-2 punch. You got to have the dynamic duo. You got to starve that thing so you can get that other thing. Right, everybody? Amen. God's all into the impossible. Amen. He loves it. He loves to show up in the fourth quarter and say, look what I was telling my friend. I said, you know, they were blessed about the church. And I said, Jan, this is God, man, because I'm an idiot. This shouldn't happen with an idiot like me at the rain. It couldn't have happened. This had to be God doing this. Amen. I'm disqualifying myself, so God, this had to be God. Do you understand that today? Amen. And that's why God is moving, because God gets the glory, right, everybody? Amen. And so I want to lead you through real change. And so the answer is this. Somebody shout, prayer connects us to God. Fill in the blank there. You increase it during these 21 days. You move away from that and you pray more. You seek God more. You meditate on God's word. You're not the 911 prayer. Lord, help me. I'm about to take the exam and you haven't studied or cracked the book. You got to pray. Have a prayer life, right, everybody? Amen. There are seasons to get close to God. There's nothing like the beginning of the year to get close to God, just like there's seasons in your married life or your life to get close to each other in relationship today. Get close to God, reading the word. Hear the word of God. The love letter of God, you're opening it up and you're saying, Lord, help me right now as I read your word. And you're reading God's love letter. This is how much God loves me. This is how much I meditate on God's word. One of our first service people saying, how do I get worry out of my life? I said, read God's word, meditate on it. You don't have to read the whole chapter. Get one verse, chew on it over and over, meditate on it, say it over and over, and you'll see. I was having this problem, to be very transparent with you, about sleeping several months ago. And I would preach to you about casting your cares. I would point the finger at you, the finger of God. Cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. Don't worry. What good is worry? I would preach all those sermons at you. And yet at night I could not go to sleep because I was concerned about this or that and that. You know what I began to do? Instead of watching Jimmy Fallon, The Tonight Show at night, well, once it would go off, I would go under the covers, amen, for a lot of reasons. No, I would go under the covers, and I would open up my phone, and I would read the Bible. And I would read it. It wouldn't have to be a bunch, but I would get my word, and the last thing that I would do before I went to bed and closed my eyes was have. And you know what? I started sleeping. Wow. What a revelation. The word of God really works. And it'll work for you too. God's not a respecter of person. Boy, some of y'all are looking at me like the cow looks at the gate. Amen. You ain't happy or anything. The reason why I'm asking you to pray more and fast more during the season, we've just come out of the most self-indulgent season. From November till New Year's, we eat more. Oh, I ate so many tamales, buñuelos, menudo. I ate it all, man. So we're fatter than we've ever been. We've consumed more and we've indulged in more. So for 21 days, can we move away from that and say, God, I want you for 21 days. Our clothes don't fit us anymore, so you might as well give them to the clothing closet. See, Linda, You ain't going back into that. Yeah, amen. Maybe, amen. But give them to Linda, amen. She'll use them for our clothing closet. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
Some of y'all hate when I say that, but I'm going to finish up strong, amen. The last thought is this. Fill in the final one. Fasting disconnects us from the world. Somebody say, praise God.
Praise God.
He's finished. Almost finished, amen. It disconnects us. What is fasting? It's not suffering for Jesus. This is how much I've given up for the Lord. I'm so holy, I'm not, you know, no, it's not about that. It's about you feasting on God's word. You're not eating, yeah, but you're eating God's word. And you're washing your face, like Jesus said, and you're not looking all, you know, suffering and, you know, no, take a shower, give me a good amen.
Amen.
And say, I love you, Jesus, right, everybody? Fasting is taking that sledgehammer and prayer and your that habit and that thing that needs to be broken off your family, and you're slamming it for 21 days, and there's breakthrough, and it happens. You fast social media 21 days. You fast the bad news that are on television. One of our men told me, Pastor, I was fasting and praying, and I would have my word time, but you know what would happen? I'd watch the bad news that would come on. Good morning, America. No. Good Lord, it's morning, right, when you watch that sort of stuff. Why not for 21 days you unplug that TV or stop the whatever it might be that has you in bondage, and you say, for 21 days I'm going to separate myself, and that's secondary to what God has for me. Right, everybody?
Amen.
I wish I was preaching better than you saying amen. Amen. We're declaring our dependence on God today. In James chapter 4 on the screen it says this: you do not have because you do not ask. You should have a prayer list of what you're asking God. Pray for that one. I've given you a lifesaver. There's still some more up here if you didn't come up. Take that one. And you're walking away with this one, and this is holding in your hand. You're holding it in your hand, and you're praying it, and you're saying, God, I'm praying for the one that's far away from you. Make that prayer list happen. I'm asking the church to join me in this. Qualify yourself. You could go onto the internet and done 21 days of prayer and fasting. Google it, search it. You can get all sorts of fasts like we did at day one of this. But you can do this with me. The first 30 minutes of your morning, spend it with Jesus with me. Read the Bible, pray. The last 30 minutes, we're corporately together on this. Spend it with Jesus, pray, seek God. Right, everybody?
Amen.
Hold that lifeline in your hand, and you're saying, I'm extending the lifeline for that. 21 days, I'm praying for that one. You stay at it. Live a fasted life, because after 21 days, what God has revealed to me in this journey of prayer and fasting is this: I live a fasted life. There's always something that you can fast from. I'm not going to eat it all because I don't need to eat it all. I can think about God. I don't have to indulge in that because I can indulge in God and read His word. We should live as believers at doing that, right, everybody? Right, everybody?
Amen.
You tell the flesh, you're going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm in control. The Spirit's in control. You do that by prayer and fasting. It has an eternal effect on your life when you pray and fast. It will do something that will outlive you. Generational blessings will happen in your life today. There's this funny story about Porfulio. With this, I conclude. Porfulio went to heaven, and he was taking the golf cart tour with St. Peter. St. Peter, they were driving through the beautiful streets of gold and the homes and the mansions. He was waiting for his house, but he saw this odd-looking building. Didn't have any windows. It had one door. And so Porfulio's eyes were drawn towards that building. And he says, what's in that building? Peter pulled him right up to that building, and he walked in. And he saw boxes and boxes and shelves and shelves. And he saw his name, with all these names, he saw his name, Porfulio. And he took the box down, and he opened up the box, and it had all these blessings inside in that box. And so he looked up to Peter and said, are all these blessings mine since I'm in heaven? He says, nope. They were all the blessings that God had in store for you on earth, but you never prayed them down. You never sought me enough to get those blessings. They're here stored, but they're ready for you, but you never got them because you never believed me for them in a great way. And I think as believers, we're a lot like Porfulio, that God has all these blessings of health. God has all these blessings of healing, of your mind being right, of your heart, of your children having legacy. But we don't pray and fast, and God has them there. And He's a good God, but these don't come out by just by prayer and fasting. You're going to get your blessing by what you do. Amen. On occasion. The grace of God saves us. The blood of Jesus saves us. The word of God is there for instruction. But some habits just need to be broken by prayer and fasting. Do y'all understand that? You get the victory. In the name of Jesus, right, everybody? In the name of Jesus. This final scripture is what I'm going to pray over your life right now in a moment. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and the healing will come quickly. Just like that, you'll be healed from diabetes. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of God will be your rear guard. God's going to surround you. And then you will call, and the Lord will answer. Right when you call, God will answer you like never before in these 21 days. You will cry for help, and He will say, "Here am I." God will say, "Here am I. Here am I. Yeah, here am I, God. Yeah, here am I." God is right there. Why don't we bow our heads, and I'll pray this over your life right now. Extend your hands just above your lap right now. Then the Lord God will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will come quickly. And then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of God will be your rear guard. And then you will call. Why don't you call upon the Lord right now? Ask Him right now. You can whisper it. God hears a whisper. You can say, "Lord, save my son. Heal my body. I need this, God. I need that." The impossible is what God's in. Call unto the Lord right now for a moment. Thank you, Lord. The believers at Living Faith Church are calling you, Lord. The people on the internet stream, they're calling out to you right now. God hears your prayer. And the Lord will answer. God, you're answering them. You will cry for help, and He will answer you. And He will say, "Here am I." Hear God saying, "Here am I. I am the one. I'm there right now. I'm going to be enough for you." Father, for everyone that needs healing in their life, Lord, bless them. The holiness, Lord, right now that this church needs, God, bless us with the holiness right now. We separate ourselves, Lord. We're not better than anyone else, but there's something about holiness. You're a jealous God. You love us, Lord. Lord, we need your help, Lord, without your hand upon us. Don't remove your hand from Living Faith Church, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to challenge you as your heads are bowed and your lives and your eyes are closed right now for real life change. Food, the social internet, money, the addiction, the sports team. You have an idol you're holding on to. Break fast right now. Break it. Break it by prayer and fasting during 21 days. Finish strong with me on the 28th. Thank you, Jesus. I always give you an opportunity to receive Christ as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. And salvation is not joining this church. Salvation is you joining Jesus and being part of Jesus. And all your shame can be removed. All your guilt right now can be rolled away. You're in this house today. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I am going to ask you a question. Is Jesus your Savior? Are you far away from God? And if He's not your Savior and you're far away from God, I have an answer. Jesus is the answer, and He can be the answer in your life. You're in this room today, not to embarrass you. I'm going to ask that your hands lifted slightly. You'll pray right where you're at. That's your altar right there. And I'll pray where I'll lead you in a simple prayer, a simple, simple prayer. You'll receive Christ. If that's you right there, right where you're at, would you lift your hand and say, "That's me. I'm far away from God. I want to say yes to Jesus." Just making sure. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Just making sure. God bless you, sir. Someone else? Yes. I saw a hand over here. Yes. Two hands. Yes, sir. There. Yeah, precious family. Yes, I'm real proud of you. I'm proud of all of you that lifted your hand. You're my brother. You're my sister already. We pray a prayer of faith right now. We pray it out loud, not out soft, so we can hear it. All the sinners that are saved by grace like me, let's pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, if you lifted your hand, say it out loud. Heavenly Father, remove all my shame. Remove, forgive me of my sin. The blood of Jesus takes my sin and my shame. My Savior Jesus, you took it to the cross for me. I should have died on the cross, but you took my place. I'm grateful, Lord. You're my Savior. I make you my Lord now. In the name of Jesus. Let's celebrate life. Four people lifted their hands. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Father, seal the believers here at Living Faith Church and watch over them. Thank you for the hand of God upon them. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. There's a connection card in front of you. are around you. You'll have to search for